Good morning, friends. I hope you had a great Sunday. Today is Monday, June 17, and we're reading 1 Corinthians chapter 9 together. Perhaps your Bible has the subtitle, The Rights of an Apostle, above this chapter. Evidently, in the reports Paul had received from Corinth, he detects an undercurrent of doubt from some concerning his credentials. There's no doubt about his pedigree and his knowledge of God's word, but what about his authority to teach as he did? So you see Paul's response in this 9th chapter. Paul begins by asking, Am I not an apostle? The word apostle is an interesting one. Through the four accounts of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the word disciple is most often used when describing the 12 men who walked with Jesus. However, did you know it was also used of many other people who believed in Jesus and looked for opportunities to be in the crowd when he spoke or present when he did his miracles, especially if he came to their town? Consider Matthew 27, verse 57. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. John tells us in John 19:38, later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews. So do you see that a disciple was someone who, to some degree, believed in Jesus and sought to learn about Jesus by following him as much as possible, even if secretly? By this description, there were hundreds of disciples, 12 of whom had been handpicked by Jesus and spent a great deal of time with him. But look at Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 16. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. There it is, friends. Jesus himself selected these 12 to a special relationship with him. Luke introduces us to this word apostle to describe the relationship and its distinction from disciple. In Luke 24, 9 and 10, it says, When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of Jesus, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Do you notice the word 11 is capitalized? This was Resurrection Day. Judas was dead, leaving 11 of the original disciple apostles. By capitalizing the number, Luke the author is distinguishing, without explanation, who these 11 were, and everyone understood. But just in case, Luke again uses the word apostles. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, Luke continues his account of the life of Jesus by saying, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So the word apostle was a special designation for the men Jesus had personally picked to spend the majority of 3 years with him, and it was to these men that he had entrusted the privilege of being his witnesses, telling his story to the world after he returned to heaven. But it was none of these men who came to Corinth. It was Paul. And some in Corinth, therefore, were stirring up the pot of doubt as to Paul's legitimacy as a spokesman for Jesus. That is why Paul wrote this chapter. By the way, the criteria for being an apostle are evidently these. 1. A person who is personally selected by Jesus himself. 2. Personally taught by Jesus himself. And 3. Personally commissioned by Jesus himself to take the message, the gospel, to the world. Do you recall in Acts chapter 9 and Paul's Damascus Road encounter with the risen Jesus in a bolt of lightning that blinded him and a voice claiming to be Jesus that instructed him? That was his selection. You may remember in that Acts 9 experience, a man named Ananias also had a vision. Verse 11 says, In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision and said, Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. We saw in Galatians 1, 11 and 12 that Paul wrote, "I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." And finally, when Paul was in the city of Corinth, he had another vision. Remember? Acts 18, 9-11. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. Paul's commission from Jesus was repeated several times in his life. So here in 1 Corinthians 9, you'll see Paul going into some detail explaining this matter of his being a genuine apostle of Jesus Christ, with a commission from Jesus to bring the gospel to them in the authority of Jesus. And more, then as now, there was the debate. Should pastors, preachers, evangelists, etc., receive financial payment for what they do? Or is the commission from God to preach and teach the word of God something that is a privilege, and these people should have regular paying jobs to care for their financial needs? I wonder what you think. You'll recall Paul did have a skill, a paying vocation. He made tents, and in the first century, as today, there were many in that part of the world who needed tents in which to live as they roamed with their flocks. Today, these are called Bedouins. So Paul, in many towns where he was bringing the gospel as a pioneer, while he was unknown by the people and there was no church there, evidently he would open a little business for making some tents when he needed cash. I see that in Acts 18, 2 and 3. There were other times when Paul did receive financial help from the churches he planted and taught. For Paul, it was clear. He never wanted those to whom he brought the gospel to conclude that he was doing so for financial benefit. It was out of love for his Savior and obedience to his calling from Jesus. Do you see Paul's powerful statement in verse 12? "On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ." Paul was determined that nothing would hinder his freedom to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus, where and when and even how he felt the Holy Spirit leading him. He was under obligation to no human being, no group of Christians, no one church. Paul is accountable to one master, Jesus the Christ, and his commission was to take the gospel to as many places as the Holy Spirit would lead him, by any means possible, and face any opposition, empowered and sustained by God himself. You see Paul's powerful statement in verse 22. "I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing." Of course, we understand Paul did not personally save any. Only Jesus saves, right, friends? Paul is saying it was his bringing the gospel to people who had not heard it, explaining to them so they could understand and as led by the Holy Spirit that positioned them to respond and trust in Jesus and be saved. So, my friends, as you and I read through 1 Corinthians 9, may I ask us to reflect on these questions. What's the life purpose God has called you to for the rest of your life? What eternal value will that purpose have? What impact or influence will that purpose have on the people your life touches, the communities where you live, even your own extended family? In other words, what's the legacy you sense God is calling you to build and leave when he finally calls you home to glory? Isn't it great to know each of us, all of us, can make a difference in our world by living our lives transformed by the power of God wherever we live in the world, including right where each of us will spend today?